Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to AnCast Live at Anime Expo 2011. We're really happy you all came out. We had a lot of fun doing this last year. The format is basic. You ask us a question, you get a prize. I have two bags this year, a green bag and a tan bag. The green bag is full of pain. The tan bag is full of slightly less pain. The winners will be chosen at random, so you will not know what bag your prize has come from. Anyway, we've got a mic up here. We can take some questions. Anybody want to? If you just want to line up, and we can get started.
Give us stuff to talk about because it's day three of a con and we are completely dry.
Yeah.
Hello, is this Don?
Howdy. Yes.
Okay. As I know, the earthquake and nuclear disaster in Japan, have we seen the full result from it, the effect that anime industry had? What kind of effect?
The effects the earthquake had on anime.
And the nuclear disaster had in Japan.
Actually, not a whole lot. It set back a few productions a few weeks, and obviously production's been going slower. Because they've had the power outages to kind of keep up with the electrical issues. But most of them kind of trucked through. And a few of the productions from this season, it was really tight, but they ended up being fine in the end. So, one problem that is a huge issue, though, is the HD cam tapes, which they use to master everything, are really, really scarce because one factory, which was completely destroyed in the tsunami, made those. And so it's really hard to get copies out of Japan of anything right now because they usually only have one master copy now of everything. So you might see some delays in overseas releases like here.
So, yeah, that happened. All right. Here is a copy of K-On! Volume 1. There you go, sir.
I was at the digital manga panel yesterday, and this is actually a question mainly for Justin. What do you think the chances of them actually succeeding with the trying to have the people actually translate? They're getting like 12% of the profits.
Oh, you mean the crowdsourced translations?
Yeah, that crazy thing.
That doesn't work, I don't think.
I tried to tell them that yesterday. They wouldn't believe me.
Well, from someone who's not a fan's point of view, what would you say? It's basically,
to my understanding, those forums for the Digital Manga Guild are already a giant clusterfuck of drama. And who didn't see that coming? I think it's a bold experiment that probably isn't going to work for them, just due to all the clashing personalities and egos, and it's just going to be a giant drama bomb. So, yeah, I don't have faith. Not right now, anyway.
Also, honestly, translation is kind of a, you know, artistic thing. Yeah. You don't want to kind of make that by committee. You end up with a mess.
Not only that, though, the first way they're testing it is all yaoi manga released in their own digital store, which I really don't see working at all. Like their own e-manga store.
Well, from their point of view, it's like, hey, there are all these fans doing all this translation work for free. We can, you know, glom onto that and, like, now.
Yeah, I think somebody was sitting in their office one day and saying, how can we possibly do, you know, get these people to work for us for an extremely low amount of money and churn out all this product?
Crunchyroll actually tried this once, and it didn't really early on in their legal careers, and it didn't work.
Yeah. So, not high hopes for that one.
All right, thank you.
But thanks for your question. Okay.
And as thanks, you get...
You get...
Yeah,
you look like you're really going to love armor. This. This is a Genesis Climber Mos Pita... really chunky looking action figure that has a motorcycle with it. Enjoy.
And we got it the quickest trade ever.
Hi, Zach and Justin. I really love your your podcast.
Thank you.
I listen to it almost every week. I also really love your interviews with the American anime industry professionals and, I guess, directors and stuff. Would you ever consider doing interviews with maybe Japanese guests or Japanese producers? And
that'd be really hard.
The problem with that is that what that would be is we ask a question, someone talks in Japanese for 45 seconds, and then someone translates it. And those work for text, but I think because it's an audio-only format, we can't. It's not like we can subtitle it for you. So, I mean, I've considered it, but unless we get like someone who we just can't, like this is the only format we can do it in, and we just can't say no. I mean, I just don't think it would work, but I certainly have considered it, that's for sure. Anyway, thanks for your question. Let's see here. What have I got special for you? Oh, you're going to win this fabulous copy of The Humanoid from CPM. One of
your
Justin's favorites.
Oh, I can't wait to see what I get. Can I give a real quick shout-out?
What?
Can I give a real quick shout-out?
Shout out? You want
a
shout out?
Yeah.
You can right, give someone a shout out.
All right, Lynn, you better come next year. All right.
boo this man. You've slowed this to a grinding halt.
All right. I was here for your guys' panel last year. I'm sure we all remember the Princess Knight Tezuka guy.
Is Princess Knight guy here? Are you here? Oh. You saw him around? He didn't come?
I did see him around.
I always had a sneaking suspicion that he didn't actually know what panel he ended up in.
Yeah, probably didn't listen to the show afterward. And I heard somebody, he was on a forum somewhere, and actually said, like, he was disappointed, he didn't care about the manga, and only wanted the anime. Like, I say boo to Princess Knight guy, but anyway.
All right, on that topic, since Princess Knight actually did get licensed, the manga anyway, like, did you guys expect that? And what other sort of older titles would you guys be interested in seeing picked up?
I mean, we kind of called it at the panel, like, hey, Contact Vertical, they'll probably license it, and they did. I'm actually pretty bad in my knowledge of Tezuka to the point where I really couldn't point to any of his older titles that I would desperately want to see.
Anything older. Like
anything older.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe it's because it's Sunday at a convention and last night went really late, but I'm coming a blank.
Yeah, sorry. But I'll give you a prize anyway. Let's see here. Oh, are you over 18, sir? Are you over 18?
Yeah.
Let me see your ID. Yeah, okay, you're good. All right, you win this Queen's Blade action figure where you can make it look like someone just jizzed all over her.
I'm surprised they don't make that for Pretty Cure.
That's probably a garage kit.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hey, guys. There's one more industry panel later today, but of all the things that have been licensed, which one were you most excited about? Which one are you looking forward to getting your hands on?
Well, obviously,
watching?
B got to HK.
Boy. Honestly, it's been I'm curious to see what Sentai's got later. This is being recorded right before Sentai. But nothing super exciting. I'm kind of excited that Bandai did release a release date for Turn A Gundam, which I kind of want to see that. I'm curious about it, so I'll finally get the chance to do that. And they're going to release the full original Gundam.
Yeah, with subs.
With subs in two cheapo box sets.
Except it's still missing the absolutely awful episode 15 that Tomino doesn't want anyone to see.
Okay, well, I'll download that one somewhere. But yeah. Okay. No, that's kind of cool. Otherwise, it's been, you know, I don't know. So, no, nothing, I guess.
I don't know. Write stuff. I'm curious.
Oh, Nadesco?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Nadesco fan, but I don't really think those discs need redoing.
Well, it's okay, so they remastered Nadesco for Blu-ray and the movie for Blu-ray in Japan. So Write Stuff, God love them. I love Write Stuff. But they licensed this and are going to only release it on DVD. what the fuck? Yeah. I don't know. I know they don't do Blu-ray yet, but that seems weird to me.
And I've seen the Japanese Blu-ray. It's gorgeous.
Right.
I want it.
So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so not a whole lot of exciting.
Yeah.
Super exciting news this year. But anyway, good question. So come on up. Here we go. I've got a gently used Evangelion 2.0. You know that really ugly green thing at the beginning with the four arms?
Oh, yeah.
The one that looked like it was designed by some awful committee? Here you go.
Awesome. Hey, guys. Love the podcast and the website. Just wanted to know, you guys said in the ANN panel yesterday that no one's really making much money off the streaming, and with the physical media kind of being on the decline, you really see anyone kind of pulling ahead with a strong market, or is it just going to be a bunch of companies kind of eking out a business?
I think eking out a business is probably the best way to put the whole industry right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing a big uptick in higher-priced collectible stuff, which I think is probably smart, because who's left buying DVDs other than the hardcore collectors now? And I think those will probably be the people that carry things, and now it's just, let's try to figure out a way to make money off the people that just want to watch stuff.
So it's just pretty much up to merchandising, you think, at this point?
Merchandising, and, you know, nicer packaging DVDs, you know, premium stuff, so...
Yeah, I think so. It's funny, like the market, the whole industry contracted to a certain point, and now it's changing within that contraction. So it's like the money's not necessarily going away; it's just changing how we make that money, and it's ever changing every single year.
Right, and so, yeah, from what I can tell, everyone's sales are up for everyone. So
yeah.
Slightly, it's not exactly, you know, the salad days again, but hey.
Yeah. All right. Well, good question. Come on up.
Oh, don't worry.
Okay.
He hasn't gotten
okay,
it.
Okay. A long time ago, when Naruto was popular, Mattel released a line of absolutely hideous action figures. This was given to me at the premiere of the first Naruto movie, and it is a piece of shit. So there you go.
Believe it.
Yes. Believe it indeed.
Hey,
hi, Alex.
So I have an anecdotal question that'll lead into a bigger question. So, Justin, about a week ago, you tweeted out that you were going to do an interview on NPR about Hatsune Miku and Vocaloid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was looking at the article last night.
Oh, God.
And you're quoted as saying, they use 12 different projectors to project her in 34D space. She towers. She's a good 20 feet tall in those concerts. And there's no context of it being a joke.
Well, 34D space was a typo, clearly.
Okay.
And I had read the other stuff somewhere and was clearly off.
All right.
And, of course, I gave them, like, a 20-minute interview, and that's what they used. So
the larger question is, since, obviously, you guys work for a huge news organization, have there ever been some really good stories about completely misquoted quotes?
No. Someone gets quoted awful in that example, and then we make a news story about how this guy was misquoted.
Or more like if you got misquoted and then it kind of like exploded.
I mean, my boss, Chris McDonald, who's sitting right over there, gives interviews to newspapers and stuff all the time, and constantly gives like 15, 17 minutes, and they cut it down to like, you know, one sentence. And sometimes it's even like that Simpsons clip where he's on TV and they cut him to make him sound like he's a horrible molester. So, like, they really hack the shit out of this stuff. And I think at this point we just sort of come to expect it. It's kind of awful, but, I mean, we just clarified that on the show, so maybe, I don't know.
There was one time I got interviewed by a Korean TV network that asking about Korean anime. And I basically told them, like, no, it's not there yet. They got the animation kind of there, but the storytelling is terrible. And, of course, they took, like, three words to make it sound like, hey, it's ready to go. Everyone's going to buy it. So, yeah. I was kind of pissed about that one.
Yeah, I guess it happens every so often. But, yeah, it's a good question. Come on up. I will warn people
we
I
know
am,
him, so give him
I am running out of prizes up here. Oh, no, I'm not. Do you like Dragon Ball Z?
I used to.
Well, here is a Velcro Capsule Corp wallet that an adult would use.
Welcome to middle school.
Good morning, Zach, Justin.
Hey.
I don't know if you have the numbers yet on what the attendance is running for Anime Expo, but it seems to be, at least to me, quite a bit up from last year.
Yeah, it's really packed.
We know, but we can't say, right?
Right.
We can say it's up 46,000 is the number. Yeah, 46,000 is the number, and I believe it. Because yesterday, my God,
that
exhibit hall was seriously like San Diego Comic-Con level of just horribly packed. You can't move. You want to murder the person in front of you. And can I just say, this convention has the worst fucking photo-taking manners of any convention I've ever been to. The middle of the fucking hallway where everyone is trying to, like, a giant wave of people is trying to move through. Let's stop right here at the top of this escalator and pose in your costume. Oh, my God. If I could, like, blow people up with a death gaze, I would. Because it's so annoying.
And then you walk... And you walk right through, and then they get pissed.
Yeah. I just said, fuck it. I just photobombed you. Ha, 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 you know.
There were people right in the middle of... Remember yesterday with the not really bomb scare, they were... there was this huge flood of people finally being allowed right back into the convention center. There was a whole photo crew just clogging that entranceway again.
Yeah.
As they were letting the whole con back into the building. It was obnoxious.
Yeah, it's really... And I don't really blame AX for that. That's not really their fault. But some guidelines, enforced guidelines about where you can take cosplay photos clearly needs to happen. Like, if a staffer walks, sees a giant clog of people, and it's being blocked by people taking photos, they should put a stop to it. It's just... It's simple manners. You know, and walking through that, you're not the rude one. They are the rude one. So don't feel bad when you walk through someone's photo op. The more you know. Anyway.
Right.
Great question. What do I have for you? What is this? Oh, here's a stack of chi from Chobits magnets. Those are going to look great on your fridge, buddy.
Yeah, my fridge.
Stack them up.
Hey, Chris.
Hello. Would you guys prefer a question that's ANN cast related specifically or not ANN cast related?
We'd prefer a question.
We've got time.
Ooh. All right. So I'm going to go with the ANN cast related one. It was brought up yesterday at the ANN panel. Someone brought up the Jake Adelstein podcast, which was really good. And they asked if you guys would want to get more people that weren't necessarily anime industry. So I guess my question is, and you guys said you're considering it, blah, blah, blah. Is there anyone specifically that you would want to get? Anything specifically that you'd like to talk about that would not be part of the industry?
I would really like to get whoever was in charge of Go Fish at DreamWorks. That really brief window where they were really into anime for like a couple of years.
Oh, right.
But I guess that's directly related to the industry, so that doesn't answer your question.
No. I guess that one composer, maybe.
Who? Explain.
This guy, Joey Carbone, who was one of the two guys that did the music for Project Aiko, actually went on to be one of the bigger J-pop composers over the last 20 years. So I'd kind of like to interview him. I think he just lives in the valley. But aside from that...
Oh, yeah, and we're working on getting Jerry back on the show. And he's not really an anime guy, but he's involved. This is the sort of thing where we actually sit down once every, like, 6 months... and just try to come up with big lists of people that would be even remotely relevant to the show.
Because
and if I had one in front of me, I could probably name a bunch of names.
You only can interview Sean Kleckner so many times a year.
Yeah, yeah. The reality of this show is we have to fill up something like 45 episodes a year. So we have to be open to virtually anything so long as it doesn't piss off the audience. Our audience is actually, you know, you guys seem pretty lenient on that kind of thing and just are happy to hear the show, and we appreciate that a lot. So thank you. You had another question?
Yeah. So this one's industry related. So DVD sales are at least some form of revenue is up a little bit. So I think Funimation has been doing this really interesting thing, and it's just social media. But take any other anime company's, you know, Facebook page. They maybe have 3,000, 4,000 people, whereas Funimation's at 318,000 as of yesterday. Not that every single Facebook light is equivalent to someone going out and buying DVDs, but I think they're taking this kind of social media aspect, kind of marketing themselves as a brand more so than any other.
Someone go shut up that woman, please. Sitting in the back.
Any other anime company ever has. I think there are fans of Funimation specifically, whereas you wouldn't really get that for Sentai or Bandai or anything like that. Is there any thoughts on that sort of
Think the culture, anime fan culture in the 2000s really did breed fans of ADV and fans of Funimation and fans of Right Stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you went to like anime on DVD forums in 2004, you'd get people arguing over who made better dubs all afternoon in vicious partisanship on behalf of ADV or Funimation. Those guys have fans. Not so much Bandai, but I think it's just their corporate culture and the way they did their panels. Like, David Williams got his own fan base by developing sort of a cult of personality around himself. And, I would suggest that the Funimation crew's kind of done the same thing, especially around Rojas. Yeah.
Yeah, Adam and Justin are both really kind of shot out of a cannon personalities that people go to their panels to see.
Right, and that's a really effective way to build a fan base. I mean, half the people creating content on the internet now, they're making fans of themselves. Not necessarily what they create, but of themselves. And that's a good way to get people to root for your company. So, yeah.
Marketing is really tough in the internet age, and that's just every possible tool, you take it, especially online.
Yeah. Anyway, great questions. Thanks a lot. You ever watch Tsubasa, Reservoir Chronicles?
Of course.
You've seen the whole thing?
Not all of it, no.
Yeah, then you don't get that. Are you a big Italia fan?
Not at all, please.
All right. I got an America keychain thing for you, a cell phone charm.
Hey, Justin, this is thanks for dinner.
Hello, Justin. Come on.
Hey, buddy.
I've been relatively, really new to anime. I have been watching it for 2 years, and listening to your podcast was really... great content.
Thank you.
My original question was already answered, but I'm kind of re-asking this again. If you could have one Japanese guest on ANNcast, and let's say you have the technology and the power to somehow translate it to English,
right?
Who would it be and why?
I'm going to go ahead and say probably, even though he's been interviewed about a billion times, not lately though, probably Kuniko Ikuhara. He's fun.
I had an interview, I'm blanking now. The guy who...
Director of the Humanoid.
Yes, absolutely. Director of the Humanoid. Thank you. No. There are a couple industry people that I would really just want to get in the head of. People who ran the various anime companies in the 80s and 90s, just kind of get their point of view of what has happened to the babies they created over the years.
Yeah, so, yeah. Anyway, good question. Let's see. Ooh, I am really starting to run low. You a big Strike Witches fan?
Yes.
All right. What about Dragon Ball Z? No? Sure. Yeah? All right, here you go. Dragon Ball Z Kai, this is part 5, so have fun figuring that out. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm sure a lot of us have had like the experience of people who think anime is like only like tentacles or like ninjas. What have your guys' experience has been, and have you been able to like show people that anime can be like, can encompass a variety of different ideas, and has the site helped in any way?
Well, the trick is really just to show them something good, and if they're open to that, then great, and you can usually turn them around pretty quick, and if they're not, you were never going to.
Yeah, I mean, you start him on Miyazaki, that generally opens him up. And after that, you go through all the good stuff from the 90s, and you try it. Although I've found that I've converted new fans using Miyazaki, and when you start there, it's kind of downhill from there. So they start to notice that there's like maybe 30, 40 masterpieces from the last 20 years or so, and then a lot of folderol. And they stop being fans after a couple of years because they kind of burn through the really great stuff, and then they don't have a taste for the, just the okay stuff or the pretty goods.
Yeah. I find it best because most of the people, once you get past a certain age group, they're not going to be the people that really dive headfirst into it, but they'll be the people you can show stuff to occasionally and they'll be appreciative of.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, probably better, because then you can act as their personal program guide. And, you know, then they're utterly dependent on you for everything good.
That can backfire. And they become an addict. And they become an addict, and then they won't leave you the fuck alone. Like, that has happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that has.
All right. Good question. Come on up. So are you a Tsubasa fan?
No, I haven't watched it.
Great. Here are some OVAs that will make no sense to you whatsoever. I've seen half the show, and they didn't make any sense to me.
Hello?
Hey.
I touched upon this question yesterday's panel, and I was just wanted a little bit of clarification, and I'm sure some other people would like to know. For internships, for like marketing or for website design, are there both paid and unpaid ones? Should we still turn in a portfolio? And I'm blanking on what the third part was, but do we need to meet like in real life somewhere, or is it all online?
We actually have no central office.
Yeah, no. Everything we do is everybody works from home.
Yeah,
which is a good way to reduce overhead
and an easy way to step away from work if it's driving you crazy.
Yeah.
But no, we don't have paid internships, I don't think, do we?
No, we don't.
No, we don't. No. Sorry.
They're unpaid.
Yeah, they're
unpaid.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Yep. Wait. Do we have gift?
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking Pammy was going back to seat.
Oh, well, here you go. Here's a Strike Witches notebook. I don't know whether or not you like Strike Witches, but carry it proudly around with you.
Hi. Actually, a big fan of Justin's buried treasure columns. I've become a really big Katsuhiro Otomo fan in the past year or so because of them.
Oh, thank you.
My question is, I'm just curious about which of those buried treasure columns you most interested you to write about and why?
Well, when I first started the column, there were a whole bunch of shows I really, really, really wanted to talk about, and then I completely burned out about 4 months in. So it's pretty much the early stuff that I felt the strongest about. But then as I went through, you know, I found good stuff over the years, and then I burned out again, and well, that's that. So yeah, the early stuff, to answer your question.
The column still exists. Yeah. You're just only going to get it maybe twice a year.
Right.
Whenever Justin feels like doing it, he says, hey, I'm going to do buried treasure, and I say, okay.
And when I'm buried in streaming video work, I sure want to kick up my heels and watch more anime.
All right, good question. And as I said, I'm low on prizes, so you win the reusable shopping bag that I brought some of this stuff in.
Thank you.
So I was wondering, someone touched upon this earlier. So it seems that the population for AX seems to have gone up, unless it was my hallucination, from last year.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that was really my hallucination, and was wondering if that was because of stuff like Miku.
I actually, because yesterday was so busy and there was so much media attention on Hatsune Miku, I have to attribute it to that.
Yeah, KTLA did a remote, I think.
Right, yeah. It was a big deal, and it attracted a lot of attention, and there were still badges. It's not like Comic-Con where you can't get in, you can just show up. And it's a holiday weekend. Most people had yesterday off. A lot of teenagers had yesterday off. So, yeah, I mean, obviously I think that contributes to the uptick. Not only that, last year was a bad year for AX.
Yeah.
Attendance was really low. So this year is actually feeling a little bit more like it was in, like, 2008, maybe 2006. So, yeah, absolutely. And Miku was clearly a big part of that.
Yeah. And if you're really wondering that much about if you're hallucinating, then I have to wonder about your lifestyle choices.
All right. This is the last toy I have. I don't know what it is. This is a Figma. It's a Max Factory. What does anyone know who Misaki Apsi is? No? No one knows what that is? It'd be funny if it was Aspie. Anyway, here you go. Some kind of robot girl. Nice. Thank you.
Out of morbid curiosity, I wanted to know what you guys think of the downfall of Tokyo Pop.
Well,
I'm really sad for all those people that lost their jobs who are not named Stu Levy.
Right. I think that's the easiest way of putting it. I mean, Tokyo Pop did a lot of things very smart and a lot of things not so smart, and a lot of companies you could say that about. So it's a tough business on any level, so I can't really judge them too harshly.
Yeah, no, I mean, they had a lot of great people working for them, and I hope they all find find good gigs doing what they were doing because they were all super talented.
I honestly think the only difference with Tokyo Pop is that when they did stupid shit, everyone knew about it.
Everyone knew about it, and it was obviously spectacularly expensive for them.
Right.
I mean, the one question, I will never get an interview. He will never talk to us, so it doesn't matter. But the one question I always wanted to ask Stu Levy is, how much money did you make on Van Von Hunter and America's Greatest Otaku? Like, did that make a dime for anyone, or were you just blowing money on vanity projects? We all know what the answer is, but it's sad. I mean, even ADV, at the height of their hubris, weren't doing shit like that.
No.
You know?
Everything ADV did, failures though they may have been, were obviously, you know, intended to make money. There was a way to make money.
Right, yeah. They weren't totally, like, bad ideas.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, Tokyo Pop. I'm super low on prizes, and I like you, so I'm positive you don't want anything that I have left.
I am okay with that.
I have a black bag of pure death back here.
Let me start off with, I've been collecting prizes from people who don't want them, so I don't need anything.
Okay, yeah, no, you can't win again.
Yeah.
Win is in quotes, by the way. Go ahead.
Any thoughts to why Aniplex is doing sub-only for Blue Exorcist? That seems like a pretty mainstream title. I'd want to do a dub for that.
Did they confirm sub-only?
I think it's on a website that it was announced with that sub-only.
Okay, I was at that panel. I don't remember them saying sub-only.
I was checking out the forums later, and they had links to it.
Okay, so sub-only. What do you think, Justin?
I think the show got a lot of pre-release hype, but it kind of landed with a semi-thud. Like, people didn't get all that excited about it. It's a good show, but it's like a Keikaisi-level good show. It's not.
Actually, to counter that, I was really surprised. Because in every panel where Blue Exorcist came up or they showed a trailer, huge applause in the room. Like, huge applause. I was shocked by that. I didn't know it had many fans. But the Aniplex room went nuts for Blue Exorcist, and it was mentioned again in some other panel, and the audience again went crazy. And it was the Viz Media panel, and they had a sizzle reel of Bleach, Naruto, Blue Exorcist, and some other show, like Death Note and Inuyasha. Total silence for Naruto. Huge applause for Blue Exorcist and Bleach. Any new Yasha for some goddamn reason. So that still has fans.
Yeah, maybe that's throwing off the meter then.
So it's, yeah, maybe I don't know. But personally, I think it should be dubbed if they want it to be a hit and
right.
Put it on Cartoon Network or whatever.
Yeah, a sub-only release is kind of, okay, we give up, but we know only the fans are going to get this. So.
Yeah, I say they should dub it. Actors need, you know, food. So.
Thanks, love the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, so there was a video joint project you did with Aniplex, I guess it was a year ago, with Oraimo and Toga Ino no Chi, where it was like a premium HD video thing and then something. I guess, how well did that do, and are you open to other things from publishers for that, or was it just expensive resources or something?
Zach, do you have anything from the black bag?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to mean me.
Yeah, no more. we're not. I don't think we're. Simulcasts are really, 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 really expensive and pretty much take up your entire life when you are running them. So yeah, we love simulcasts. We just don't want to be directly in charge of them.
Right.
So.
Do you want a prize?
Sure.
All right. Here's what you get. Volume 2 of the smash hit comedy series Wandaba Style from ADV Films. This has, audio commentary, probably from David Williams. So here you go, buddy.
Actually, I'm going to be greedy and try to break a record. I got my one main question, then like three real quick ones at the end, if that's okay.
How are we doing on time?
Okay. We got about 23 minutes.
Okay, I guess we're okay then.
We're good.
All right, now the main one. What's the biggest anime series over the past like one or two years that's probably not going to be released here and why?
One or two years. Biggest in terms of popularity on the internet, or biggest just or best, or what do you mean?
Well, as in terms of general popularity, or specifically popular with American fans, but for whatever reason, it's never going to be licensed.
There's really not a lot.
There's not. These days, if something gets really popular, someone snaps it up.
Second season of Higurashi.
There you go.
But clearly the first season did so well for Funimation.
Yeah, that he said popular with American fans. Sure. Yeah, it was popular online with a certain set of people.
Thank you. Nice
color. Okay, right. Okay. You are not mic'd, sir.
You're not mic'd.
You are not mic'd.
Recording, so.
Anyway, I can't think of one off the top of my head. But, yeah. Anyway.
Neither can I.
Your other questions, please.
Okay, this is specifically for you, Zach.
What's up?
Yeah, now that you're an executive editor, is that all you're going to be doing, or are you ever going to get another column back? Because I kind of miss you ripping people a new one.
Thanks. But that killed my soul. I had a nervous breakdown because of Answer Man. I've been executive editor for 5.5 years. That title's been with me since I started here. This show is what I produce now for Anime News Network. And I do still write reviews, and I contribute to the season preview guides. I'm going to be writing more reviews. I need to get back into the swing of it and just do more and more. But a weekly column, I have just too much text on a weekly basis. Every piece of opinion-related content, interviews, convention coverage, I have to edit personally, just me, all of that. So I don't really want to personally do a whole lot of text anymore. This show is my one true love now.
If you really want to see him rip someone a new one, just tweet him stupid questions. That's all that's required, really.
Okay, and what are the chances of you guys ever going to any of the smaller conventions throughout the country?
You have to... Chris has to pay for us to go to an anime convention, and it's not worth the money to go to send us to those small cons. We both stopped by Anime Los Angeles.
Right. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. But unless it's within driving distance and it's just kind of a lark, these are work. It's fun, but it's work.
Right.
So I wouldn't like voluntarily go to Fanime just on my own and pay my own gas and hotel and stuff. So pretty low, actually. Unless for whatever reason they decide we're like worthy of being guests, which I don't think that'll ever happen, but yeah, probably pretty low.
It's like if you enjoy cooking and you're a chef and you just volunteer to go to cook for a bunch of people all the time.
Yeah, kind of it. That's
yeah.
Kind of it.
All right, and last one. Did either of you go to the Miku concert yesterday?
No.
I couldn't get
we
tickets,
could. I don't think so. We could get in. We barely got our guys who were actually covering the event in. That press line apparently got cut off super early, so a bunch of like important press did not get tickets. It was kind of a mess from what I hear. So, yeah.
It was.
But no.
Yeah, you know, it was a mess. I mean, they started letting people in about an hour before the concert. They opened up like 4 doors, letting people in one at a time through the metal detector. So by the time the concert started, there was still a big line outside.
Yeah, thanks for distracting me. Apparently, AX actually really went out of their way to get us in, so thank you to Anime Expo and the SPJA. If you guys know Carlos Santos, he is our manga reviewer at Anime News Network, and he is also a mega fan of idols and stuff like that, like serious mega fan. He's going to have a big article. He interviewed the creators of Miku, and he's going to have a huge article for y'all on Miku probably next week. So look forward to that.
Probably the only guy on the planet that could write like a huge PhD thesis on the inner meanings of AKB48.
He turned in 1,500 words on AKB48 that touched my heart. So, all right, thanks for your questions. Come on up. We've talked about this show a couple of times on the old podcast, and you're going to love this. It's volume whatever, because they didn't label this, hoping people would actually just buy it. You already have this?
Yeah.
You already have Papua, volume something?
4, I think.
Volume 2. It says contains episodes 6 through... What the fuck? Okay. All right. Then you get this. Now, this is special. This is Geisters, Fractions of the Earth, Volume 2.
Yeah.
If anyone remembers Anime Crash, they went out of business at Volume 3.
Well, they didn't. The licensor went out of business at Volume 3, so they didn't even get the masters, and then they went out of business a short time after.
Yes. This also has a card inside that promises that if you didn't get the bonus collectible figure, you'll get it with Volume 8. It's actually, this is a great piece of hilarious Schadenfreude history. So you treasure that, my friend. You treasure that. Thanks.
I have a question on behalf of my parents about the anime series Nana, because they keep bugging me about when they're going to make new episodes. They know that the mangaka is sick recently recovered and hasn't gone back to writing the manga, which is why they haven't made any new episodes. So I wanted to ask you, given your years of experience in the industry, what do you think the chances are that they're going to complete that series?
Well, you have cool parents if they're bugging you about Nana. But also, I don't think we would know anything you don't.
So are we going to get sort of an Inuyasha the final act
kind of
a thing out of this? Depends on whether or not they decide they can make money on it. It depends on whether or not the manga sales justify it after she's come back to it. Who knows? It probably depends mostly on the manga sales.
Yeah.
So we don't know, and nobody else does either, I guess. I hope so. I like that show.
Yeah, wasn't bad.
Okay, do you want a prize?
No, thank you.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Hi, over the course of years of being an anime fan, I've talked with other fans about this, there seems to be this conception or notoriety that a certain segment of anime fans out there have like an entitlement issue, whether it's the way content is delivered or what it is. And the simple answer I've talked to friends about is just, it's being raised on the internet, it's just a fan being a fan. Do you think there's anything more to it? Like, is there not just a simple answer to that question?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Yeah, I got the first part about entitlement, but what was the second half?
Like, do you think there's a simple answer, it's just fans being fans? Do you think there's more reason to entitlement? Like, is it just being raised on the internet, or is it just more to it?
Well, I think the entitlement thing just became part of fan culture at some point. And as you know, the internet allows fandoms to basically sit in a circle and jerk each other off about whatever their attitudes are. Even if it's a despicable attitude, like I deserve free anime and I don't care about the people who make it, well, if everyone decides that that's the cool thing to believe, everyone's going to believe it. It happens in every fandom, not with that attitude, but with other bad attitudes. And it's just a byproduct of the internet and how the internet has changed the way people interact with media and with each other.
I think it's also just kind of when something is free and you've always known it is free, when it suddenly is threatened to be not free anymore, that's when people start, claiming squatters' rights.
Yeah, that's perceived injustice, that you're taking this thing that they have no right to away from them.
Right.
Yeah, it's really silly. It's a bad attitude, but not all fans are like that. And we're actually seeing, well, of course not all fans are like that, and I'm actually seeing a mild backlash to that. People are actually getting to the point where, no, I want to pay for this. I enjoy this product. I want to pay for it. And I'm that way myself, and I love that.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see a lot more of that coming down the road. And I think as today's teenage fans grow up, they slowly grow out of that attitude because they realize they have to put money into the economy and that sort of thing. So hopefully it'll turn around.
Yeah.
Anyway, good question. Do you want a prize?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you're going to get Papua. So here you go. Enjoy.
It's awesome. What is it?
Papua
bat.
Hey, again.
Hey, keep going.
Hey, you already won something, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I don't need any more prizes.
All right.
I don't know if you guys were there at the Gundam panel yesterday, but in essence, like the third question was a guy who asked, the official Sunrise people, why does your show suck?
Nice guy.
Yeah. And so I noticed today at Mizushima's panel, Seiji Mizushima from a Gundam 00 movie, they were kind of like actually screening questions before they happened. So I was wondering, do people who go and, do things like that, does that affect Con's ability to get guests, like, to come back or, come in when people do sort of rude things?
I think they should all, every major respected panelist, their guests of honor should all have question screeners. I think they just should. That's just polite to them. Screen out the douchebags that want to come up and troll the place or whatever. And that just makes everything happier because that guy is only amusing himself. And he's only, deferring to his own sense of entitlement or whatever. It doesn't help anybody else or the panel.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but sometimes when you turn things over to an audience member and they ask them what they think, really terrible things come out of their mouths. And it happens every audience panel I've ever seen. Heck, the Conan O'Brien screening I went to the other night, people were asking really terrible stuff. It's every Q&A I've ever seen with an audience member.
Yeah, I mean, like, San Diego Comic-Con screens everything. And as a result of questions or fluff, But you don't want to bring the mood in the room down when someone goes up there and is like, yeah, Wolverine's claws are supposed to be this long. But in the movie, they were that long, you know.
My personal favorite are, I didn't like the ending. Could you make a new one?
Yeah. Oh, man, speaking of stupid questions, in the Bandai America panel yesterday,
oh God,
like the second question, this is Bandai Entertainment USA, so it's like Bob Napton. And the guy gets up there and he goes, how do you come up with all your stories? Like Bob Napton personally created Gundam and, oh my gosh.
Hey, he saw Kenny Adomi up there. Maybe he thought he was, hey, Japanese guy.
Japanese guy. Yeah, this man created, yeah, okay, anyway.
Did you catch the question that was like, when are you guys going to make more Gundam?
Oh, yeah, yeah, after they announced like, 50 new Gundam things, yeah. All right, thanks for your question, again.
And you again.
Yeah, me. I have another two questions. Okay, so first off, how the hell did Stu Levy get Shoji Kawamori to be in Van Von Hunter?
It probably happenstance.
Yeah, he hangs out a lot in Japan, so I'm sure the two actually are supposedly friends. I don't know.
They probably are. I don't know. Stu's an ingratiating guy.
Yeah, he's nice to hang out with.
It's gross. Okay, anyway.
Stu doesn't listen to the show. It doesn't matter.
So my second question is more serious. In a way. So you were talking about Miyazaki earlier, and you were talking about using Miyazaki as this, gateway drug, but people usually burn out after that because nothing can hold to the level of Miyazaki. I'm not saying any of what I'm about to say to trash Miyazaki, just kind of how I see him. Everything that he has made with Studio Ghibli is anime in the sense that it's cartoons from Japan and such, but I feel like there's this really big disconnection from anything Miyazaki touches and anime, anime fans are fans of his work, but like anime itself. I feel like you could separate all of the Ghibli movies in a way you couldn't like separate any other production studio or big director's movies. I feel like what he does is so separate. He's so disconnected from any other anime. I'm not even sure if he watches anime. I feel like
he doesn't.
Yeah. Like I feel like calling his stuff anime, it's anime in name, but I feel like it's more.
I get your point.
Yeah.
I get your point. His stuff is absolutely the most mainstream possible product in Japan. It's the equivalent of, like, comparing what we normally think of as anime to his stuff is like comparing, like, the Venture Brothers to, Tangled or, like, a Pixar movie. There's just an ocean of difference between the two, and we lump them all together because it's Japanese cartoons, so that's anime to us. But the perception of the two is very different in Japan.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the stigma at all.
I usually don't use Miyazaki for gateway drug. I usually use First Part of Memories.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I have four prizes left, and they have to be out of my hands. Or no, three prizes left, and they have to be out of my hands, so you have to take something.
Because they cause cancer.
And there's, and you're a repeat. So you're going to get...
Is it Arcade Gamer Kabuki?
No, you are going to get... my fucking favorite show of all time, Volume 2 of Cyber Team in Akihabara.
Hello. What's your opinion on the Voltron cartoon that came out recently a couple weeks ago?
I don't have an opinion, but everyone says it blows. Does it blow?
Big time.
Okay.
So it should match the original Voltron.
Right, yeah, yeah. So it's really not that different from the first one.
Holy shit. The original's unwatchable.
That's a nostalgia glasses show. Like, yeah. Absolutely.
Also, I had first time a Answer Man moment here in the con.
Hmm?
I had an Answer Man moment. I was talking to someone at the Viz media panel. I was talking about what's going to be his question. He said he's going to ask them how he can contact a manager because he wants to continue making the Negama cartoon.
Oh, well, that's a totally realistic question.
I try to give him it's not going to happen, and in the end result of him just getting mad, crossing his hand, and sitting down, looking the other way.
You've done it. You've done everyone in that room a service. So thank you, sir. All right. The guy behind you hasn't asked questions, so he gets the next thing.
Since you guys are like movie buffs, I was wondering, since the movie blockbuster season has started, and it's kind of wrapping up right now, I was just wondering what your opinions of anything to look forward to and what you've seen that you actually liked.
Ew, this season looks
dire. It's been a pretty brutal summer.
Yeah. The only thing I'm really looking forward to is Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Harry Potter. We're both big Harry Potter nerds.
Yeah.
Not like in the creepy slash fic sense, but we like Harry Potter.
Hey, man, Harry and Snape. Just saying.
Yeah, Captain America is supposed to be good, too. Like, everyone's saying, I really liked X-Men. I thought that was pretty awesome. But everything else, and I actually really liked Thor. I thought Thor was pretty cool. Everything else kind of really sucked. Like, Cars 2 was fucking torture. Like, and I'm a huge Pixar fanboy, so I walked out of there with a little piece of my soul missing. Like, how could you do this to me? I loved you! But, yeah, that and Green Lantern was garbage, too. Like, yeah, it's been a bad summer. But I am not going to see Transformers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see it. I will not give them my money.
Do not contribute to the problem.
Yeah. I have to draw the line somewhere. But, yeah, Harry Potter, and I haven't seen Tree of Life yet, so that's next on my plate.
I love Tree of Life, but it's hardly a summer blockbuster, let's face it.
Yeah, no, it's not, but it came out for some reason now.
For people like me, who can't stand superheroes or Michael Bay explosion fests.
All right. Anyway, good question, and I'm sorry to do this to you, but I have to.
Bring this back, Heat Guy J.
No, it's not. This is really going to hurt you. Please step forward. This is a copy of Lady Death, the movie.
In the limited edition foil.
Yeah, enjoy. I've got one prize left, and it's all yours, my friend, and it's very special.
Oh, good.
Go ahead, step
forward. You stunned
me.
Now you scared him. Stunned me. No, actually, I really enjoyed your podcast that you did for E3.
Oh, you're one of the few. Thank you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that got a lot of net because we were shitting all over E3 the whole time, and we don't usually talk about video games, so we were kind of negative. And people were like, geez, these guys don't even like video games. So.
I think you may have already answered my question because I wanted to know if maybe you had thought about getting more guests, maybe video game related. First one that comes to mind would be like Seth Killian at Capcom.
Yep.
Or if it had ever been considered, or did you just get a lot of negative feedback?
Absolutely, and thank you for enjoying that show. I appreciate that. I am a big gamer. I like games a lot, but there's already a billion video game podcasts, and people don't listen to our show specifically for that. So I'm thinking like two or three times a year, maybe doing a gaming show and having Todd on, who writes the X Button for us. And yeah, I'd love to have like Seth Killian on. You know, stuff that anime fans care about, like Street Fighter, Final Fantasy, stuff like that. Yeah, we can do that. Justin doesn't play video games at all, so no. Those are shows he won't be involved in. But I absolutely want to do more gaming content. Just I got to be careful with it. You know, it's a slippery slope sometimes because you can wind up talking about it a little too much and driving away the audience. So yeah, but anyway, so great question. This is very special. I acquired this the other day. This is a ticket for yesterday's Vic Mignogna Live in Concert. Here you go, sir. You do that. Okay, everybody, we are out of time. Thank you so much for coming and listening to the show. We love you all. We will see you next year.